The believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel invite you to listen to a gospel message by one of their pastors, Joe Galusik and Walter Pendleton. This week's message is from Joe Galusik. Visit us on the web at www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Men preach what they think is best. There is nothing to preach better than or other than Jesus Christ the Lord. Now this week's message.
I'd like to read Isaiah chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I want to speak to you today about God. Now, I understand that's not a big surprise. This is a religious broadcast, as they call it, from the Sovereign Grace Chapel, Crow, West Virginia. But I want to do it a little differently than a lot of other people I've heard on the radio and on television and on the internet. I want to speak to you about God, specifically about the God of the Bible. Now, to be perfectly honest, this one true God, Father, Son, and Spirit, these three are one. This one true God is basically unknown today. The God spoken of today by most people in most places has nothing in common with the God of the Bible. I want to start today with this thought and show, if I can, from the Bible, just a little bit about the true and living Lord of glory. I'm going to speak from the Old Testament. Now, this is the same God of the New Testament. I know a lot of people don't understand that. I know a lot of people may not even believe that. They may never have heard it. There's a song that is sung. It's called He's Just the Same Today. And the God that lived in the olden times is just the same today. Well, this is exactly true. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is the God of the Bible. God who has never changed, is not changing, and will never change. The Bible is one book of one Lord. It is made up of many books, but it is telling one story, one message of the one Lord. Now, the first thing I want to address here is where did Isaiah see the Lord? We know when it was. It says it was in the year King Uzziah died. But he also tells us where he saw him. I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. Wow. God sitting down. The Lord sitting down. Upon a throne, though. The psalmist states in Psalms 2 and 4 that he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. I'm not going to go into that, but that's nice. Psalms 99 and verse 1 says, "The Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved." Here we see Isaiah saw the Lord sitting, but where? Upon a throne. Now, the psalmist in Psalm 2 said, "He sitteth in the heavens." In Psalm 99, "He sitteth between the cherubims," angels. "Let the earth be moved." Isaiah saw him sitting on a throne. Now, why is he on a throne? Because he belongs there. The God of the Bible is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He belongs on the throne. Also in Psalm 99, he says, "The Lord reigneth." The Lord reigns. The Lord rules. The Lord controls. The Lord is in charge. He is on a throne. That's where he belongs. He reigns because he is Lord, and he sits upon a throne because he reigns. Now, I do understand the Lord is omnipresent. He is everywhere. However, what we see here in this chapter 6 of Isaiah is that when the Lord reveals himself to a man, the first place that man sees him is on a throne. The first place you will see the Lord is on a throne. Why? Because you will see that the Lord of hosts, the Lord of glory, the Lord of all reigns. This is where we are given. It is given to us to see him first. Now, the second thing I do want to speak to here, because there's more to come. This didn't happen. Isaiah saw this and then something happened and everything disappeared. No, there's more information. In verse 3, he saw these seraphims, these angels that had 6 wings, 2 covering his face, 2 covering his feet, and 2 he flew. These angels, one cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Now, what I see here and what I want you to see here, this is what has been described, and I agree, as God's prime attribute. Now, all of his attributes are equally true. All of his attributes are equally precious and glorious and wonderful. But this, I do believe, is his prime attribute. The most basic descriptive statement of the one true and almighty God and everlasting Father, the eternal Son, and the complete Holy Spirit is holy, holy, holy. If God can be said to have a prime attribute, I believe this is it. He's holy. No matter what other attribute that God may have, all we know is what we have written in the Bible. And we have written from beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelations, we have God is holy. Holy, holy. Now, I will bring this up because the world thinks, incorrectly so, but the world thinks that God's prime descriptive statement is that God is love. Now, I will not deny, I do not deny that God is love, because God is love. But everything that these, and I mean seriously, sincere religious people and sincere people who are only so-so religious, they think, everything they think everything they view is colored by this basic statement that God is love. The problem is they are not seeing that what God does is love. What God is love. They think of their terms, their definition of the word love, and they try to apply that to God. And it does not work that way. God is the definition of love. Love is not the definition of God. And certainly human love is not to be foisted upon the Lord of glory. You can say some things about God that would work with the word love, because they think of God's loving grace. They think of God's loving mercy. They think and they talk about God's everything from the picture that they have in their mind of what love is. But they're wrong. God is love. But I will tell you this, God's love is holy. It is a holy love. And you can use that word holy, that attribute of holiness, that definition of sacred, separate, hallowed, blessed, consecrated, venerated, revered. And you can use that word holy to describe each and every one of God's attributes, God's works, God's purposes, God's holy wrath, God's holy righteousness, God's holy justice, God's holy grace, God's holy anger, God's holy judgment, God's holy power. Now, I don't know anyone who uses the term our God or the Lord, thy God, is a loving, consuming fire. But we can say that God, the Lord, thy God, is a holy, consuming fire. Why? Because even the fire of God is holy. It is God's holy fire. It is God's holy anger. It is God's holy love. It is God's holy hatred. It is God's holy mercy. It is God's holy grace. We see all this and more revealed in the scriptures, Old Testament and New, and both. As I said, that word holy comes from the Hebrew meaning sacred or holy. Hallowed, blessed, consecrated, venerated, revered, and set apart. God is holy, God is sacred, and God is set apart from man. Man is the creation, God is the creator. Man is the vessel. God, the Lord, is the potter who hath power over the clay. Out of the same lump to make vessels unto honor and vessels unto, and this is the word, dishonor. God makes vessels. God has made everything. In the beginning in John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word, what? Was God. And everything that was created by Him. Who? The Word of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. God is holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. He is so holy, the whole earth is full of His glory. He is so holy, that's what the angels call Him. The angels call Him holy, 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 as they fly before Him. And now you ask, why do the angels call Him holy, holy, holy? Because He is. He's so holy that I can't explain it to you. He's so holy that he cannot even look upon sin. He is so holy that he is angry with the wicked every day. And he is so holy, we cannot look upon him and live. God's angry? God hates? Yes, he's angry with the wicked. It says every day. It says, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Now, I know there are people, and I've heard them say it with my own ears. Well, God doesn't hate, so you know that's wrong. We just don't worry about that. And that's the way they treat the scriptures. That's the way they treat the word of God. Why? Because I'm telling you this right now. They don't know the Lord of hosts. If they'd seen him, they would know that he is holy, holy, holy. And we are not. And God has every right to be angry with the wicked. God has every right to hate man with a holy, perfect hatred. He has the right. Because we are wretched, sinful, fallen creatures who are dead in trespasses and in sins. That's what we are by nature. Then we'll see right here in verse 5, Isaiah's result. What's the result of seeing the Lord? What is the result of seeing the Lord? Isaiah saw him high and lifted up, and they're crying, holy, holy, holy. And then Isaiah jumped for joy and said, whoopee, I'm so happy I've seen God. No, that wasn't the reaction at all. Verse 5 says, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I don't hear a lot of woe is me from people who say they know the Lord, who say they have met the Lord, who say they've had, even this, a vision of the Lord. You don't hear a lot of woe is me. That's what you hear from Isaiah. That's what you hear from a prophet of God. Up until this time, the first five chapters, you heard woe unto you from Isaiah. And that was the word of the Lord. But here, when Isaiah saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and he saw him and he saw these angels and he heard them crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The reaction of Isaiah is, woe is me. I'm undone. Have you been there? Do you understand what Isaiah is saying? Do you understand how Isaiah felt? Has God ever revealed himself to you and you see, I am a wretch undone. I am a sinner. I am full of sin. I am sinful. I sin because I am a sinner. Isaiah saw this. Now the way he related it, I am a man of unclean lips. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What comes out your lips is because of what's in your heart. It's because of who's in your heart, or in some cases, most cases, who's not in your heart. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. But thankfully, there's a cure. There's a cure. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs off of the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth on the seat of the problem, as Isaiah saw it and revealed it here, and said, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. The cure is a live coal, live fire from the altar, from before the Lord. The only cure comes from the Lord. Isaiah didn't ask for it. Isaiah didn't know anything about it. It was given to him by the Lord's angel. And this live coal touched his lips. It touched his lips. But he said, thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin purged. He didn't say, now your lips are clean. No. Thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin is purged. That's what we need. The lips are a symptom of it, or a result of it. That's not the problem. It's not the source of the problem. The source of our problem is our iniquity and our sin, which is within us. We were born this way. You don't hear that in many places, but it's the truth. Now, the next thing I want to mention is that Isaiah is given the message. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here I am, send me. God uses messengers. He uses men as messengers of his word. Why? Why does God do it this way? He chose to. That's the only reason. Jesus Christ told somebody one time, he said, you know, if these over here were silent who were rejoicing, saying, Hosanna, the son of David, and rejoicing at Christ, and we were crying out loud, he said, if they were silent, the rocks would cry out. God can make the rocks talk. But he has chose to use a man to give a message. And what's the message? Well, there's only one. And it's not always pleasant for some people. He said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes. Why? Lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart. Lest they do that, and convert and be healed. The results of this message? People hear, but don't understand. People see, but don't perceive. People naturally cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. How many of them? All of them. They understand absolutely nothing of the Spirit of God. That's what the book says. Neither can he know them. They are spiritually discerned. The natural man hath not the Spirit of God. Man, as he is born, does not see, does not hear, and does not understand. Now, wait a minute. Doesn't God want everyone to see and hear and understand? Evidently not. Evidently not. The Lord is completely self-sufficient. He is completely holy. He is completely sacred. He doesn't need anything from us. We need everything from him. And God reveals himself to whom he will. Isaiah saw him and no one else. Saul of Tarsus saw him, but the ones that were with him didn't. And they didn't hear the voice of him, what? That spoke to me. The good shepherd calls his sheep by name. And this promise is unto you and to your children and your children's children and as many as are far off. What? As many as the Lord our God shall call. The revelation of the Lord is to an individual. Even when there's 5,000 saved in one place, 3,000 saved in one place, each individual is individually revealed. What? The Lord. Because only the Lord can save. His arm is not short that it cannot save. He does save. But he has said it in the Old Testament and the New. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will be merciful to whom I will be merciful. It's God's choice. It's God's will. Our Lord, our God, is sovereign over who sees him, who hears him, who understands him. Paul quotes Isaiah in a different place in the book of Romans, and he says, I was found of those that sought me not. What? Where else are you going to hear that? I was found of those that sought me not. How can that be? When God, the Lord, the holy, holy, holy Lord of hosts, reveals himself to you, you will see him as he is, sitting on a throne and reigning. He's the one who saves, and he is the one who reveals himself to men. Thank you.
This broadcast is supported by the believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Sovereign Grace Chapel is located in Crow, West Virginia, just off Country Club Drive on Annabelle Lane, just north of Little Beaver State Park. Our web address is www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Our mailing address is Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15 in Kellysville, West Virginia 24732. Again, that's Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, Kellysville, West Virginia 24732. Come hear Christ preached.